So what if instead of focusing on trying to figure out alcohol, you tried to figure out yourself? You learned how to do all of the things that you think alcohol is doing for you, but better. You tapped into really understanding what the messages from your body meant and how to use your emotions to your advantage and how to really expand your desires to get what it is you finally really want and have real, lasting, sustainable pleasure. That is possible for you, and it is all available to you in the self-study course, The Naturally Sober Woman. It is everything that I teach my one-on-one clients, but it is compact for you. Lifetime access on demand at a super affordable price available to you right now. You're going to go to my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. Right there, it'll say self-study course, or follow the link in the show notes right here. Get in there. One short video, just the welcome ceremony. There's a beautiful commencement ceremony that really anchors you into your intention for wanting to make this change into your life, will change your life forever. It'll put you on a trajectory of new possibility, because the bigger your desire is, the easier it's going to be to say goodbye to alcohol. So go on over to my website, get inside of The Naturally Sober Woman, and I will see you in there. Staff, I am a life coach who ended a 20-year relationship with alcohol without labels, counting days, or ever making excuses. In this podcast, we will explore my revolutionary approach to quitting alcohol that breaks all the rules, amazing stories from women who are throwing a better party because of it, and how you can stop drinking and start living. This show is not a substitute for rehabilitation, medical treatment, or advice, so please talk to a health professional if your alcohol consumption is a risk to your mental or physical health. Now on with the show. Hello, my beautiful listeners. It's Mary Wagstaff. Thank you so much for being here for another episode. As always, I hope this finds you well and warm, and I really hope that you are taking these amazing, inspired, embodied interviews and seeing what you can say yes to more often. And sometimes it's not so much the process of what we're getting rid of, but adding something to our lives to start to believe into possibility, to start to prove that yes, on the other side of alcohol, there is joy, there is pleasure, there is a way into the self. And so much of that is really a process, as I always talk about remembering. And I believe that human beings are born with the desire and the birthright of embodiment, of sensuality, of pleasure. I see it, you know, even with my little boy. I mean, all he wants to do is be in his body and play. I remember from a very young age as a little girl exploring my own personal pleasure in many facets. And, you know, that idea has really been shamed out of us and become so taboo. And just like so many other conversations that we're starting to have in the collective, I do believe pleasure and embodiment and sensuality and sexuality really needs to be one of those things, because if we can't express ourselves innately as we were born into these bodies, our birthright of feeling into emotion, and you know, even the state of sadness being a deep catharsis and can be pleasurable, we move from it and we go to what's socially acceptable. And on the last interview, Freedom talked about this idea of the facade of alcohol feeling looking like you think you're living and you're fully alive, but you're not even really experiencing your senses at all. You're not even really feeling what's happening in the moment. So it just creates these layers and layers upon illusion and lies and beliefs. And, you know, without shame, it happens to anyone with frequency and duration. We can go to look at the subconscious of how we got to where we are. But you have to start with the process of questioning it and looking at it and choosing something different. And you do have to be courageous to step into that place. So today's interview, this is amazing. Sweet Lindsay Graves, Free of Spirits, was one of the very first people before I ever recorded an episode that I reached out to. I had started following her on Instagram. And since then, my Instagram days have changed. The account that I used to use is completely gone. So I do show up on there and I put some fun posts. So if you ever want to come find me on there, it's Mary Wagstaff Coaching on Instagram. But she really inspired me because I just loved her tagline, living a free spirited life by being alcohol free. So just, she was really embracing that, and you'll hear all about it, you know. She said, I always claim myself to be this free spirit, but I was really taking the spirit out of my life. And she is a nurse and a mindfulness and yoga teacher. And we talk all about that. There's some amazing conversations about really the health industry and how even in the health world, alcohol is used as a coping mechanism and it's really not talked about in the education piece. And, you know, there's just so many layers of all of the ways that alcohol is accepted into our society, making it so challenging, and that courageous piece to step forward and saying, no, it's not okay. It's not right. It's not the way to live a fulfilled life by choosing to be half alive because my full senses and my full experience isn't even embodied, and without shame, of course, but there is just this facade that we've been sold. And as I spoke about before, we aren't shaming or blaming or taking down the alcohol industry because we've got our own work to do, because they can do what they need to do and we do the work to throw a better party on the other side. So I've been sharing some of my pillars of change and truth that I use in my one-on-one coaching sessions, and the present moment is one of them. Anyone who has studied spirituality and mindfulness knows that the present moment is the place where we hold all of our power, because it's the only time that truly exists. The past has been and the future is unknown. So it's from this place right here, right now, where you are, where this point is, that we can either pivot to the past of that familiar subconscious loop that we live on. 90% of our thoughts just come over and over and over again. And until we interrupt them, we can't pivot into a future of possibilities where we're responding to life rather than reacting. And so part of the five essential shifts to start controlling alcohol and to change your relationship with alcohol is this, seeing this pivot point, seeing the subconscious patterning, and choosing to be honest with yourself and stepping in into that courageous piece to saying, oh yeah, that thought is subjective. It's not actually fact. It's based on my limited perspective of my life leading up to this point. So that's one of the pillars that we really work with, and it's just the most powerful piece of it. And then from that place, the present moment holds all of these gifts where we're not even striving for the next thing, where we start to expand the awareness in the moment, that the moment itself becomes the gift. The moment itself holds all of the power of that which you seek outside of yourself. That fulfillment, that pleasure, that desire is inside of this moment right now. And so all you really have to do, and you can do it right now, is sit back, relax your shoulders, take a deep breath, and really scan the space around you. Tune into the senses and find that right now in this moment, everything is okay. In this moment, everything is okay. So then you give yourself permission to make worry and stress optional. And that is one of the biggest pieces that we come up to resistance against, because we've spent so much of our time and so much of our energy in optional worry, in optional stress, in optional busyness, in optional to-do lists, that now what? Now we're face to face with who we are. And so you can choose to take that as an opportunity to go deeper and dive into, like, holy crap, there is like an entire world that I'm missing out on because I'm spending all of my time worried about what other people are doing and worried about the unknown future. Or I can live. I can just simply live. Enjoy this amazing, amazing episode. Check out all of Lindsay's work. She's an amazing Instagram. And I will leave a link to my scheduling app in the show notes so that as you decide, you're really ready to just see what's possible on the other side of it. Taking your last sip is not the first step. Starting to recognize the subconscious patterning in your brain and realizing that these aren't truths that are yours anymore. They're just imprints of the past. That's the first step. And getting the support of someone else to help you navigate those waters is really so, so crucial. I hope you're doing amazing. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful day and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Talk to you guys next week. Bye. Welcome back to the show, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for being here for another episode, and I am just thrilled. This has been a long time in the making to have an interview with this beautiful woman who I am meeting for the first time outside of the spaces of the interweb. And so I just wanted to welcome Lindsay Graves to the show. Lindsay, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, I'm so, so grateful to be here, Mary. I appreciate you having me. It's an honor.
Yeah, it's awesome to see you in person. It's like you get just this like small sense of people, you know, on social, but then seeing someone and is like, you know, and their energy is a totally different experience. So, yeah, I just like to start out by having you tell our guests a little bit about yourself and what you're up to most days. And, you know, I started following you because of your Instagram, and your, you know, sharing your message of your sober living and your alcohol free living. So, but yeah, let us know what you're up to.
Yeah. So I'm Lindsay. I was actually pretty busy the last 4 months. I was undergoing a yoga teacher training. It was a 200-hour yoga certification, and I finished that at the end of May, May 31st to be exact. So I am officially a yoga teacher, and it's just been such a treat and something I've always aspired to do. So it's really great just kind of seeing that come full circle and to like finally manifest that in my life and to be able to offer such a beautiful service to others. What else? So I'm a nurse. I'm a pediatric nurse and I work in a hospital. So I have been pretty busy with, you know, being at work and with COVID and, you know, everything that's kind of going on. So of course, work has been keeping me busy. I really wish I could work online right now, but that's just not the type of work that I do. And that's okay. I'm really grateful that I'm able to be of service to others, especially in the healthcare field. And what else? I just actually finished moving into a really beautiful space that I find was kind of meant to be. So that has been keeping me busy. So as of now, I am starting to work on building a website and also trying to build a yoga business and just really honing into the mind, body, spirit, and just offering holistic health to others. And I'm also a plant lady. So a lot of times I spend my days watering my plants and just watching them flourish. And yeah, I'm kind of simple in a way.
I love that so much. Do you think that you'll do, and congratulations, yoga teacher training really is like one of the best gifts you can give to yourself too, because it's such a deep dive into the self, right?
Yeah.
Will you plan on incorporating that into some of the health work that you're doing as well, do you think?
I actually would like to. The certification also had a little bit of a meditation component to it. Mm-hmm. And I love meditation. Meditation was actually what led me to start my Free of Spirit page. And I would love to incorporate meditation to not only patients and their families, but also to my health, like to my colleagues. Mm-hmm. I would love to kind of incorporate that, and even offering yoga to physicians and nurses and pharmacists, whoever wants it.
That's amazing. And I definitely want to get to that because, you know, one of the big components of the work that I do with my clients is we just start through observation, right? We start to watch the process of our relationship with alcohol and from a different perspective. And so just simply being is part of the process. And so I'm really curious about how that showed up for you. And we'll definitely get to that. So I wanted to just, since we're here to talk about your relationship with alcohol, do you want to just take us back on a little journey of kind of when alcohol first showed up in your life and what that looked like?
Yeah, absolutely. I was 16 years old, and I was with my cousins, and I remember we went out one night, and I remember having a drink, and little did I know that I was going to be hooked after that first sip. And after I took that first sip, I wasn't drinking a lot. I was a teenager. I was a swimmer, and I was pretty active in sports and, you know, academics. So I really didn't have the time to go to parties. But once I turned 17, 18, I started drinking more heavily, as in at parties. I was, you know, kind of seeking it out. I was always this awkward girl growing up. I always was like, I was teased, I was made fun of, I was picked on. And when I would drink, I would just feel that confidence, quote unquote, emerge. And I wouldn't feel like this little, you know, girl who was picked on and teased. I was kind of like the life of the party. So once I got to college, that's when my drinking really spiraled. You know, a lot of college kids, you drink and you party. And I was a student athlete. So I was, you know, amongst a lot of other athletes, and we would drink on the weekends and even the weekdays. And so fast forward, I transitioned to nursing school, and I find that's when my drinking also really escalated during that time, just because of the stress of finals and studying. And after test, you know, the thing that we would do, we would go out and drink and get heavily, heavily intoxicated. And so it was kind of like this off and on journey throughout my 20s where alcohol just really kind of hooked me in and just made me feel like I was this confidence person. I struggled with social anxiety, so I used alcohol to kind of help with my social anxiety. And it was starting to really affect my relationships, I find. As I got older, I started noticing that alcohol was affecting me differently, in a sense where I would become emotional, I would get angry. My intimate relationships also suffered when I was drinking. And yeah, that's kind of my journey. I grew up, both sides of my family are also heavy drinkers. Mm-hmm. We're originally from New Orleans. So that's kind of what we do. So even when I would go home to family functions and I was of drinking age, you know, that's what I would look forward to for holidays and parties. Mm-hmm. And it was like my world. It almost became that in a way where I needed alcohol to feel like I could socialize. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have that alcohol, I was just awkward. I felt weird. It felt strange. And it probably like when I stopped drinking, like around 27 through like 28, I would say my drinking escalated a lot, because I was a travel nurse at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, getting out of a relationship, but then I got into another relationship that was caused me a lot of stress and anxiety. And that's when I noticed my drinking really started to spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one morning I actually woke up and I was craving alcohol. And I was like, wow, you know, this is interesting. And I kind of pushed aside and I was like, well, you know, you come home from work and you can have your drink. But I remember waking up craving, like my body wanted alcohol. And that was kind of the first time that's ever happened to me. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Mm. Yeah. So what happened at that point was, you were saying you had noticed some shifts in your relationships and being emotional. And what I like to kind of say is that you're solving for problems that you don't even really realize you have because it seems normal, right? Like the socializing part of it, it's like, it really is kind of a problem to not be able to just be social without drinking, but we think it's normal. So it's not until like on the other side of it, you're like, oh, now I need to relearn how to do this. was that something that became a trend? Was that you were having more cravings for alcohol when you decided that this was not exactly how you wanted your life to look?
Yeah. And I wouldn't say like there was times where I would go a few weeks without even drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that whenever I would drink, I would kind of just, I was a binge drinker, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to stop. But yeah, there was a moment where I reflected on that and I knew it was starting to become a problem, where I felt like if something didn't change, I would keep reliving these same habits and patterns. And I remember, it was December 16th, no 17th, morning of December 17th. My boyfriend and I at the time got into a really bad fight and I had heavily drank that night. And I told him, I was like, okay, I'll only have two, because there was a pattern where we'd get in fights after I would drink heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the pattern that kind of pursued in previous relationships. So I remember waking up December 17th and got into a fight, and you know, my ex, he's like, Lindsay, I think you may need to give up alcohol or stop drinking for a little bit. And of course I played the victim and I'm like, no. And I remember waking up December 18th and I told myself, okay, something told me, Lindsay, if you keep doing this, you're just going to be, it's going to be the same story. Something needs to change. So I told myself I was going to stop drinking for a month. And then here I am, I think 573 days later without alcohol.
Yeah, that's amazing. So tell us about that month and what that process looked like. And then what made you just not go back?
Yeah. So the month was hard and it was kind of just something I was like, when I say I'm going to do something, I stick to it and I do it. I follow through. So that month, I think it was like 2 weeks in, I noticed I was starting to have more energy. There was another thing, Mary, whenever I was drinking, like during like my late 20s, I noticed I was always so fatigued. It was to the point where I had to drink tons of caffeine during the day. It was just energetically, I just knew something was off. So during that month period, I noticed like around the 2 to 3 week mark, some of that fatigue started melting away and I started having more energy. And I also struggled with anxiety. And I noticed my anxiety kind of melted away. And I was like, wow, this is really nice. I was like, okay, maybe 2 months. I was like, okay, I'll do 2 months. And the shift for me was actually during that month, I went to a house party on New Year's Eve. And of course, every New Year's Eve, you know, you drink, you party. That's just what you do, or what I would do at least. And I went to this New Year's Eve party and I had a great time without alcohol. And that was the shift for me that I needed. Like, wow, I had a really great time. My boyfriend and I didn't get in a fight. I was still confident and I had fun. I remember the night I could go to work the next morning. And that's what kind of led to that shift for me, where I wanted to keep going.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And it's like, you just don't know until you prove it to yourself, you know? Do you remember being nervous going into that situation?
Oh my gosh, yes. I honestly didn't want to go because in my mind before, like all day, I was thinking, I was like, oh, maybe I don't go, maybe I do go, because I thought, you know, you can't go to this and have a good time. Like, how can you go to a party and not drink? Like, that's so weird. So I kind of grappled this in my mind all day. And finally I said, you know what? I'm just going to go. I put on a cute outfit. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, okay. Like, I feel really cute. Maybe I will go. And I went, but it was hard. It was hard going. I really had to like push myself to go for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that though. It's like, you have to just make it about something else. And then you realize that all of the other components that you love about the party are still the same. It's just that the alcohol's not there. You know what I mean? Like, you still have good friends, you still have good music, you still have a cute dress, you still have a cute boyfriend, you know? Like, yeah. And, you know, it's like, until you kind of like realize what's happening, that nothing else is really changing except in your head, that it's like, oh yeah, I can do this without alcohol. So that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. How long do you think it was? I mean, it sounds like you had a shift pretty quickly. And those stories are so amazing. It sounds like you kind of had what I say is a calling from your higher self of answer, and you answered the call, which is beautiful. When do you think that it was kind of like where you're like, I'm never going back, and, you know, where it just started to feel like, no, this is the life for me?
I would say probably around month 7 leading into month 8.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I kept going with the journey, like, okay, like I'll give it 3 months and then 4 months I won't drink. And then finally I told myself, okay, I'll give it a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like month 6, 7, I told myself like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to go back to drinking after the year mark. But and I didn't at this time though, I didn't have any friends who were also alcohol free or sober. So I felt so alone. And that's the reason why I was going to go back to drinking, so that way I could have those friends again and not feel so lonely. But I went to a meetup. It was a San Diego women's recovery meetup. And I went to that meetup. It was August 17th. And after that meetup, I was like, wow, okay, like I'm done. Just after hearing some of the girls' stories, I found that I had like friends who were sober. It opened up my eyes and it opened up my world to this new life where I said, okay, you know what? I have the support now. And it's true. Like, okay, I don't need this alcohol and I think I'm done. Like, I think alcohol is not serving me. I can't go back.
Beautiful. I love that. Yeah. I think that it's so nice. And that's why I love doing these interviews, because it's just so supportive. Although, you know, it starts and ends with you, of course, it's an inner journey, but it just knowing that like, no, there's amazing people in the world, that it's not about deprivation and you are thriving. I mean, look at all the stuff that you're doing, like, do, you know, it's just awesome. So what do you think, do you have any current, is there anything that still shows up for you that you feel like is challenging when it comes to alcohol?
I would have to say sometimes like stressful events,
mm-hmm.
Or it can still be triggering for me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been to a party in a while just because with quarantine and COVID and everything. But a lot of times, like, that's a struggle for me, just being around others who drink. Sometimes I kind of get that feeling like, oh, I'm missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm recently, you know, went through a breakup, and it was my first alcohol-free breakup.
Mm.
And that was hard, you know, just with all the transitions and the Black Lives Matter movement and COVID and the breakup and the move. It was a lot for me to handle, and I did feel triggered at times, like, man, like if I just drink, you know, at least I could just numb this out for a little bit. So sometimes I do have those moments where I feel triggered when I'm stressed.
Sure. Yeah. What do you tell yourself? What's your thought process like during that time?
Yeah. That's a good question. I actually play the tape forward.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think about it. And like, for instance, like the breakup, you know, I told myself, okay, like you would drink, but then you wouldn't be able to reflect and you wouldn't be able to process everything that's happening. And this is the best breakup for me that I've ever gone through, because I'm able to reflect and I'm able to think about things that I did wrong and things that I like now look for in a future person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And had I returned to drinking, I know that I would have woken up the next morning, I would have felt bad because of the breakup, I would have felt bad because who knows what I would have done. You know, I could have, you know, had a fling, and that would have made me feel more bad. Cause it's like, oh, I got a relationship and now I just hooked up with this like random person. Sorry, I'm talking about hooking up. I don't know how that feels. Like,
this is life. This is what
Yeah, because it's like I would have hooked up with this person, and then you would have had more shame and more guilt. So yeah, so long story short, that's kind of what I do to help kind of like kind of resist those urges and that temptation. I play the tape forward, and then I find other ways to cope. I dive into my toolbox, and that helps me a lot.
Yes, I love that. I talk about that too. I call it a 24-hour fast forward, and it's just like, then you can just, because the triggers of the brain are just like this nostalgic feeling of that it'll fix something. But when you play it forward, you realize like, no, that's not going to fix any, it's not going to actually help in any way. No. So, and using your toolbox, like it's such a, you know, we can conceptually know how to do breath work and how to, you know, meditate, but until you actually use it, and then you're like, wow, these actually work. So tell us a little bit about some of the tools that you do like to use on a regular basis.
Yeah. I have a pretty steadfast yoga and meditation practice that helps me a lot. Just when I'm feeling stressed and anxious, I find that going to my mat really helps. Mm-hmm. I also, I love reflexology. So it's a pretty inexpensive Thai style massage. Mm-hmm. So I do that, and then I cap it off with Cold Stone ice cream.
Yeah.
So that's just like my go-to. And some, I don't do the reflexology all the time because that adds up, but a lot of times I'll go get my ice cream, I'll meditate, I'll do yoga, I'll tap into my friendships, who are all, you know, women who are also alcohol free or sober. And that's, it really helps me a lot. Yeah. And then also exercise, like running and
nature. Yeah. Processing emotion actually through the body is, I mean, like you were saying, the mind, body, spirit really is how we, you know, make that connection. I wanted to kind of go back when you were talking a little bit about your family, and because I know that this is a huge thing for so many people is socializing, and you found like some other groups of friends, but like when you go home, and what was that like transitioning around your family and some, you know, even an old community when you go back home to visit?
Yeah. I would say my parents were very supportive, like, wow, Lindsay, like, that's great, like, I couldn't do that. And initially, a lot of people, especially, like, my brother and even my mom, like, well, Lindsay, did you have a drinking problem? And it was more so kind of shock, because a lot of people, you know, they perceived me, especially on Instagram, social media, they perceived me as this holistic, because I always portrayed myself, and I was very active into my health and yoga, meditation, and throughout the years, even though I was drinking, my health and my mind, body, spirit connection was still pretty important to me. So I think a lot of people were just confused as to why I stopped drinking, you know, like, well, did you have an alcohol problem? And then after a while, people, you know, like my family started to understand, and they started to get it, but it was hard in the beginning, because initially a lot of people, you know, family members would ask, well, were you an alcoholic, or you really didn't, it's okay to have a few beers every night, like, you know, what's the big deal, you know? And so there was kind of a little bit of pushback there. But now when I go home, you know, my mom has her alcohol-free wine, and I've inspired, I feel like I've inspired my family a lot.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what was your response to them?
It was more so initially I was a little shameful about it, and like, no, I didn't really have a drinking problem. I just kind of wanted to give up not do it for a month and just see what happens. And now I feel so good. But really, truthfully, I wouldn't say I was a quote unquote like alcoholic, and there's nothing wrong with even labeling yourself as that. You know, I don't want that to be like a taboo word, but I will say I did have a drinking problem per se, because I would drink heavily and then it would lead to other issues. I remember one time I drove home, this is my early 20s, and I don't even remember driving home. Mm-hmm. I was on the highway and I could have killed somebody. And there's all these little things that happen where it's like, okay, I don't drink every day, but alcohol is affecting me and it is problematic for me.
Yeah.
So after I kind of got over that shame, that, you know, that sense of pride, I opened up to my family and I told them certain ways how alcohol affected me, and I felt like it was a problem, and I kind of related it back to, you know, our family history and, you know, things that I saw growing up and things, how alcohol affected me and affected our household. So yeah, I definitely found that power to finally open up and become more real.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that. And I just love your story too, because there's no right or wrong way to change your relationship to alcohol. And that's just really what I want to impress upon our listeners, is there's no, you know, one size fits all. And sometimes, like, without excuses, and I love, you know, you're going into it saying, you know, I just wanted to check it out. And then once you kind of got your own confidence and personally back and your strength and the alcohol was out of your system and you could really stand on, you know, that strong ground, knowing that your life was definitely better without it, then you could kind of go in and then be the inspiration. And I find that so true, is like, without judgment for anyone else, you're just like, here I am and this is how my life's changed. And now you're inspiring your family and, you know, your followers. And I just think that that's so awesome. And, you know, not having to like count days or, like you said, label yourself or any of that's just like, this is me, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about both kind of nursing and your, and like the wellness world, because and this is maybe why I ended up was following you at first, because I too lived a parallel life of yoga and drinking for many, many years, as a practitioner and as like a huge advocate. I mean, I believe in that science and that practice. It's changed my life in so many ways. Was alcohol something that like you guys talked about in nursing school at all, or like, and then also even in your yogic journey, like as you were drinking and like, you know, studying nursing and also studying yoga, was that something that you ever felt like in conflict with? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, that's a good question. We, you know, to be honest, in nursing school, we never talked about alcohol. When I look back on it, we never had, curriculum on, you know, alcohol. I mean, I think we talked a little bit about psych nursing and, you know, they always say like smoking is bad, but no one ever talks about alcohol because it's so ingrained in our culture and no one wants to talk about that. Mm-hmm. So one, to answer your question, in nursing school, it's not something we really talked about. And I'm trying to think, especially so, whenever I first started yoga, about 7 years ago, I was still drinking, but I honestly wasn't even aware of what alcohol was doing to me.
Right.
In a way, when I was still in my early 20s, in a way, alcohol was like my like best friend. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't even think about it that way. You know, I was just like, oh, I'm doing yoga and I feel so great. And I feel so like, so relaxed. And so let me cap it off with some wine.
Right.
Better.
Right.
Because wine, alcohol is your friend, you know, like that's how you see it. It makes you more relaxed and more at ease. And so I never really thought about it in that sense until I maybe got like mid-20s when alcohol started affecting me differently and I was a little bit more ingrained or rooted and more rooted in my yoga practice. It just didn't feel in alignment with me,
right,
to drink after doing a yoga practice,
mm-hmm.
practicing yoga. So I wasn't, when I was a little bit more rooted in my practice, I really wasn't drinking as much just because of that connection with mind, body, spirit. I wanted to feel good. I wanted to pour goodness in my body. I wanted to feed my body, you know, healthy food and nourish it. So I kind of strayed away a little bit, but now, excuse me, sorry. But now looking back on it and actually going through my yoga teacher training and not drinking, I find that I'm more in tuned,
mm-hmm.
I'm more aware, I'm more connected with like the divine. And yeah, I'm kind of going in a tangent.
No, I asked you kind of a couple of roundabout questions, and it's, you know, it's only because, you know, nursing and yoga both being, you know, health fields.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so fascinating to me too, how, there is so much left out of, you know, the medical field. I mean, even when it comes to nutrition and the things that we put into our body, it's like they're just like separate things when we know that it's really a holistic thing. But like saying, you know, it's so ingrained in our culture and no one wants to talk about it. It's just fascinating. Do you think
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I didn't touch on the nursing part. Like actually working in the field of nursing. Is it okay if I touch on that real quick?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Yeah. So actually being a nurse, alcohol is used so heavily in the medical field, and a lot of nurses and doctors and, you know, when you have a stressful day, it's so normal to say, oh my gosh, like I need to have a drink. I was so stressed. Like this day was horrible. Like I can't wait to go like have a bottle of wine. And it's really interesting because that we're healthcare providers and we're supposed mm-hmm. to be offering health and healing. And then we're like giving so much of ourselves to other people and like helping them. But then we go home and we treat our bodies like crap, basically filling it with toxins. And then we do it the next day. And it's just like, there definitely is this contraindication there,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I did want to touch on that. Like alcohol is definitely used heavily in the healthcare field for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, it would be so awesome to implement some programs where people do have alternative tools. You know, and it's like a lot of times conceptually we know about these things. Like I'm sure there's probably doctors and nurses that do practice yoga, but it's like, it's the separation. It's like, you know, I'm on the mat in the morning and I do my exercise in the morning, then I go to work and then at night I have wine. But instead of like, what about just like using that practice, you know, instead of the wine? And it's like, it's that slowing down piece. Do you think at all, and I'm just curious about this, that because I do believe that yoga is an evolutionary science, that it, no matter where you start it and how you start it, if you keep practicing, it does evolve inside of you. And it sounds like that happened to you. Would you say that that was a piece that supported your like awakening, or that hearing that kind of calling home of your higher self, that the practice of yoga helps support that in your alcohol-free journey?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And in the beginning, my focus was just not, I just was not to drink, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of put in my yoga practice was on and off for the last 7 years. And then finally I decided to like step back on my mat within, I think like month 5 or 6 of being alcohol free. And yeah, it just felt like, I just felt so aligned. It all made sense. I would come home after a stressful day and get on my mat and meditate. And you know, it was like, I stopped doing the practice because I was drinking so heavily and I wasn't aligned. And so as soon as I became alcohol free and got back on my mat, it was like my journey was unfolded to me. And I was so aware, Mary, and so in tune. And I do feel like I'm undergoing this like spiritual awakening. And I think it's all because I've tapped back into my divine, into my breath, into my meditation and yoga practice. And I don't do it every day, just with the move. It's just been kind of busy, but when I don't do it, I can tell.
Yeah.
And now that I'm done with the move, I'm, you know, practicing more regularly now. And it's just like all these little nudges from the universe have just like unfolded. Mm. And now that I don't have anything obscuring that, like alcohol, you know, obscuring all of those thoughts, I'm so aware and so aligned in every way.
Yeah, beautiful. I kind of get chills thinking about that because, you know, regardless if you're on your mat or not, it's really a lifestyle, you know, and the way that you observe the world and observe yourself and your thoughts and, you know, not judging people and, you know, just all the ways in which we engage in the world. And I always just think every day I'm so grateful for my practice because it's this tool that I don't need a tool bag for. I just can carry it with me and it's just there. And like, wherever I am, I can tap into it. And it has been the best key to my life. And so I'm just so glad that it's unfolding for you because it does. And it's like this gift that keeps on giving, like it just keeps getting better, right?
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. It's so true.
Yeah, and it's so exciting, especially when you get to share it with people and then they start opening up their heart to it. And it's really just like the pathway to a life more filled with love, you know, is the way that I see it. So what do you think what is a belief that you had, and you probably talked about this, but what is a really strong belief that you had when you were drinking that you just like would never have thought possible on the other side of it?
Oh yeah. There's a lot. So I probably, like confidence,
mm-hmm.
you know, I always thought that, you know, alcohol made me more confident and more bubbly and social. And I never would have thought that me not drinking would have helped with my social anxiety. I would be more confident and be more secure in myself, mm-hmm. or more secure with myself per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was so insecure and alcohol was kind of like my quote unquote saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that giving all of that up would help with all the things that I was trying to fix with alcohol.
That
makes sense. Does that make sense?
I hear that a lot too. And it's almost like, it's like you kind of have to go through it to come out on the other side to see like, no way. I'm like, I'm way better without that. Yeah. So yeah. How do you show up differently? Like at social events now, what are some of the tools you use when you go out?
Yeah, I show up with, you know, confidence now that I've been to a lot of different experiences and events without alcohol. I show up confident. I'm like happy. I'm not in my head as much. I'm not insecure about every little thing. I grab my tonic water or my like special drink, you know, of course, non-alcoholic. And I feel like I show up as an inspiration because people will observe me and they'll know that people know now that I don't drink, and then they'll see me, you know, dancing on the dance floor and having a good time. And I show up and I find that I feel like I'm an inspiration.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah. I was just thinking about this, just like instead of feeling shameful, like being proud of who you are, you know, that you can show up in that way. And that's so awesome. I just love, like, I can see you out there with your sparkles on. And I think that this kind of leads into my next question is, for me, I found, because I work exclusively with women, and that's who has been on the show, but is that really the divine feminine essence has this opportunity to unfold and blossom in this new way. And that's kind of like the picture that I got of you, is like your beautiful feminine essence coming out, who needs no aids, who needs no crutches, like just so. What has been your experience with the divine feminine since you've been alcohol free, or having it kind of show up and exposed to you?
Yeah. Ooh, I can think about this like in multiple ways. I find like the divine feminine, like femininity. I guess that's the word I want to use. Yeah, I just find that I'm just more, I embrace myself more, I guess. Like, I just have this, like, confidence about me that I didn't have before, and I love being a woman, and I feel like whenever I'm just flowing on my mat, I just feel, like, sexy and empowered. I find that I use my voice more. I tapped into my, you know, feminine friendships. And I find that since going alcohol-free, honestly, so, like, I always wanted, and this is kind of going into, like, friendships, but I always wanted girlfriends that I could be, I wanted more like-minded friendships. Friendships where I didn't just go out and party with. I wanted to be able to connect and relate and talk. And I feel like the universe, now that I'm not drinking, the universe finally gave me what I was looking for, you know? And it was like, now it's like, I'm able to have these beautiful friendships that allow me to be my divine and to really just, be an inspiration and just to show up, you know, my best self. And, you know, just do all these creative things. Like, my friends, like, write books and, you know, they have blogs, and they're just doing all these wonderful things. And I feel like the divine, you know, feminism has just really, like, I've tapped into that a lot more now that I'm not drinking. I feel like, I don't know if all that made sense. I feel like
it. Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, the alignment piece is so huge. Is, you know, you can't be in alignment when your senses are being dulled and, you know, you're not conscious, like, you can't be fully present and aware. And so how can you be in alignment with the truth of who you are? And I think that's so awesome. And I found this personally in myself too, of, you know, the shift of feminine relationships is so much different and feels so much more nurturing. And, you know, that idea of, like, kind of a sacred sisterhood, you know, just being able to be who you are without any pretense. So yeah, I think that that's amazing. I had wanted to ask you something we had talked about briefly before. What was your, and you said, you know, about coming from a drinking family and growing up in New Orleans, and I can only imagine that it was very prevalent there. But did you have exposure to what support looked like? Because it sounds like you were just really, you know, kind of did it on your own. And you said you went to that one meetup. But when you had decided to not drink, did you feel like that there was a support available to you? Or did that seem like it was kind of a taboo thing?
It seemed like a taboo thing to me. You know, I honestly didn't, when I stopped drinking, I didn't, like I said, I didn't go to AA. I didn't know that there was a world out there full of community and connection and support. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't really know anybody that was sober. So I kind of did it on my own, and I knew I could go to AA, but I just had so much pushback around it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just didn't feel like I wanted to do AA. So, I mean, yeah, the support I had was people from, like, afar, like, who still drink, but, like, yeah, like, that's awesome, like, keep going. But as they're, like, chugging their wine and alcohol right in front of me, I'm like, nah. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but I did a lot of reading.
Yeah.
In the beginning. I read Alcohol Lied to Me by Craig Beck. That helped me. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know about podcasts at that time, like, mm-hmm. sober podcasts, so I just did a lot of, like, Googling on, and I did Reddit, and I started to understand, you know, alcohol and what it was doing to me. And I was curious. I wanted to fill myself up with knowledge as to why I started feeling better without alcohol. Right. So I started researching alcohol and anxiety, and then alcohol and depression, and then alcohol in, you know, like, domestic violence and alcohol. There's just so many things that I was like, oh my gosh, why is no one talking about this?
Right.
I was like, what? And so, you know, that's that. And then when I went to the meetup, you know, that's when all these other tools were made known to me, like podcasts and Instagram and all the things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. And I know that is the question. Why is no one talking about it? Because in, you know, advertising and in the media, it's like, it's sold to us as the best version of our life. And it's going to, you know, we'll have this vacation, this like sexy vacation lifestyle. And then it ends up being the opposite of that. And like stealing actually the gifts of like a sexy vacation away from you.
Yeah. Cause it's not like after you, you wake up like on the toilet, like it's not very sexy. And like your makeup's running, you're like, stumbling. I'm like, I was not cute when I was drunk. And I was like, oh, maybe that's why I never like found like my lifelong partner when I was like drunk.
Yeah. I just had a friend say to me, she was like, you know, it's like just, she's like the way that I, one of her tools was she just thinks sloppy. She's like, you could have one, maybe everything after that is just kind of sloppy, like your whole life. And she's like, I just don't want to be that. I want to be graceful and sexy. And I just, I kind of want to do a whole episode on that. It's like, yeah, if you think about really like the image of what the effects of alcohol are, they are just kind of sloppy. And it's not.
And it's not what you see in the commercials. It's not right. Like the girls in the little bikinis, like holding their Corona Lights, like a good time, but it's like, it's more like falling over and stumbling and not being graceful and sexy. And yeah, I love that you said that, like, or that she mentioned that, like, I feel so graceful and just so like sexy. And I just like, I just move when I say that's what makes me feel like, and I see like, I've seen like your hula hoop videos and I'm like, ooh, like you just are so like beautiful and just like so in tune. And I, that's like what alcohol does for me.
Not
alcohol, but like that's what not drinking does for me.
Right. Yeah. Totally. It's so funny because and that's one of the biggest, the hardest things to wrap your mind around in the beginning of the process is you think that it does that, but it doesn't. It like the brain is so hardwired to want to get that pleasure response that it will trick you into thinking you are that graceful, like sexy hula hoop dancer when it's the complete opposite of that. And it just takes the belief that on the other side of it, you know, things are going to be better. And then you just have to prove it to yourself. And I'm just so proud of you for doing the work and being a sexy embodied yoga teacher now. It's so exciting. And I hope that I'm just so thrilled that there is, you know, there are people that have to pave the way like you and showing up and, you know, just kind of unapologetically, like, this is the better version of my life that I want to live. And now that especially more women that are going out into the world and saying, oh no, this is a better way and this is possible, not better way, but it's a better version of life, right? And without judgment, that now more people can be exposed to it, because otherwise you have so much shame and isolation from drinking and then you can't seek find support. So you're kind of like hiding in the corner. And that's why I knew, I had been coaching, but when I kind of like nailed it and I figured like this, you know, when I knew I had some answers, around shifting your mindset around an alcohol-free life, like I just knew that that was the direction I had to take my coaching in, because there wasn't, you know, there's not a lot of support around it. And so, it's so exciting to know that it's out there and you're sharing that message. And so, what would you say is your big why, like your unflinching why for keeping going on this path of a free alcohol-free life?
Yeah, I would say it goes back into my like handle and like my, what I believe about myself, about being this free spirit. And my huge why to keeping up this journey is I'm able to live this like free spirited life by being free of alcohol. And that's like my huge why, you know, like I'm finally free again. You know, like I'm actually more free now than I was when I was drinking. And I have this free spirit tattoo, and I've always like coined myself as this free spirit, but I thought alcohol was what I needed to be this free spirit. And now I'm realizing that I'm more of a free spirit without alcohol. And my light shines so bright now. I'm just more in tune, more aware, more productive. So that's the reason why.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And so many people, because they have that conflicting thoughts in their brain of like, oh, it creates freedom in my life, but at the same time, it's actually what's keeping me in shackles, you know? And until you prove it to yourself, you don't know. Lindsay, to wrap up, if you had any piece of advice for anyone that's listening today, that's starting their alcohol-free journey or had that calling of their higher self to say, if you keep going on this road, you know, things are probably going to be the same. What piece of advice would you give to someone starting out on this journey?
I would tell them it can be very hard at first. But honestly, it's a beautiful experience. It can be messy. You feel all the feels, but it's so worth it. And it's just there's a beautiful life on the other side. And, you know, you really don't need alcohol to fix things. You know, you have the power and the capability to handle it without a substance that hinders you and hinders your growth and your spirit and your health and your wellness. And, you know, you can do this. I'm rooting for you. And, you know, it's so worth it. I promise it's worth it.
Yeah. And you are proving that to yourself over and over again. I mean, from all the stuff you talked about, you know, all these big transitions that you've had in your life and that that the world has had, it's like your capacity to handle that, to handle stressors and change grows because you're not relying on an external tool. Like, you have to find it inside. And so
within yourself.
Yeah, beautiful. Lindsay, thank you so much for everything that you offered to our audience today. Is there anything else that you want to say?
No, not really. Maybe just thank you for listening and thank you so much for having me, Mary. And thank you for all of the work that you do and that you're doing. And it's just amazing, and keep it up. And I just feel so delighted to have finally met you and, you know, to have had this chat. I love talking about being free spirited.
Yes. And Lindsay, tell us, that's what I wanted to ask you. Tell us where we can find you and where we'll be able to find more about your yoga journey and all of that stuff.
Yeah. So as of now, you can find me on Instagram at free of spirits and then underscore. So free of spirits underscore. And I'm, you know, hopefully, and I'm in the works of curating a website and maybe even a Facebook support group. So as of now, just go to my Instagram and stay tuned for recent or, you know, upcoming events and maybe even a support group. And yeah, so thank you.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And we'll put all of that in our show notes. And, you know, who knows, maybe in the future after we can all be together again, we'll have we can have a gathering of the yoga minds. The alcohol-free yoga minds would be so awesome.
Yes, I would actually really love that. That'd be really cool.
It would be awesome. Lindsay, thank you so much for being here. Have an awesome day.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much.
The process of unraveling your story outside of the confines of alcohol is truly a sacred and beautiful journey of the self. Rediscover who you are in a whole new world again. Stop by my website, marywagstaffcoach.com, to get instant access to the on-demand workshop of my revolutionary 5 shifts approach. And while you're there, you can sign up for a one-on-one consultation where we will create together your life intention. This is the framework for which all of your decisions around alcohol are made from your truest and highest self. In addition to working remotely worldwide, I host private one-on-one healing retreats at my sanctuary in Mount Hood, Oregon. I can't wait to connect.